this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we continue our study through the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 6 and 7 today. Probably a very familiar two verses. I find sometimes in my own life that when I hear a familiar verse, it sometimes becomes too familiar and not deep enough in my spirit. And as I was studying and going through this again this week, it just reminded me of the gravity of God's Word and the power of the Spirit as He speaks to our hearts. And I think we're going through periods right now in this country, in this world, where what this is speaking about is definitely on a lot of people's minds and hearts. And so let's read these two verses. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I actually want to back up like I usually do and take a running start into it. I'm going to start in verse 4 where we were last week. Rejoice in the Lord every once in a while. Oh, wait, no, always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do you believe that? Do we believe that we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord always? He said it twice, remember? Okay, verse 6, where we are today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning just again thanking you so much for being our Father, for loving us so much. Father, help us to comprehend how much you love us. Help us to understand the gravity of your love. Lord, we do need you every hour. We need you every moment of every day. And Lord, we do need to keep our eyes fixed on you because you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, you are all that we would ever need, all that we would ever need. So Father, I pray today that as we go through these two verses, that Lord, you'll speak to my heart, you'll speak to our hearts, you'll speak to every person who's listening by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I gotta admit that I'm just a person who's standing and trying to confess the Word of God. But Lord, it is your Spirit and your power, the power of your Holy Spirit, that will do what you need to do in our hearts and minds today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anxiety or worry. Most people have some of that in their lives. Are you anxious about something? Are you worried about a few things? The Greek word is marimneo, which means to be pulled in different directions at the same time. You ever felt like that? Right? Okay. Troubled. In fact, in the Old English meaning, it was to strangle. Sometimes you feel so worried about something or so anxious about something, it's almost like it's choking you out. And you just don't, you get in the point of where you just don't know what you ought to do. Well, Paul says, you know, it's easy to get into that point because we as people tend to function because of the things around us rather than the one who is inside of us. And we start seeing things and hearing things, and folks, I'm telling you, the more you watch the news, the more anxious you're going to get. Just turn it off. My good news is right here. That's the news I look at. You know, and I'm not trying to say I don't want to know what's going on in the world. You can't live in this world right now without knowing what's going on in this world. Because it's bombarded you from every single direction. But you know what? I'm not going to sit in front of a TV and watch news for 3 hours and get all depressed and go, man, we're all going down the tubes and all that. You know what? We already know what's going to happen. The Scripture's already told us. We've already been through all that. And Paul says to the church of Philippi, you know, it's so easy to get worried about the things of this world. It's so easy to be anxious about the things of this world. He says, listen, don't be anxious about some things. No, anything. Do not be anxious. So let's take a look this morning. The extent that he's talking about. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, again, you might be one of those worriers. You worry about everything. And then when you can't find something to worry about, it worries you. You know, you're worried about everything. Anxious. You know, you just can't calm down. But he says, don't be anxious about anything. Why? Because we ought to be in prayer. You see, God can handle anything. Do you believe that? I believe God can take care of every single thing. That's why it doesn't bother me so much what everybody's saying is going to happen and what all these things are going to... You know, I'm not so worried about those things. You know why? Because I have a God who's in control. And so, the evil one would love to use those anxieties and worries in your life to get you sidetracked, to get me sidetracked, and get my mind off of where it needs to be and my heart off of where it needs to be. And I can become focused on those kinds of things. That's not where we need to be. And Paul says, we ought to be praying over everything. You see, if there's a problem in your life, if there's an issue in your life, if there's something going on in your life, what should we do? We should pray about it. We shouldn't, you know, worry and fret and, you know, wring our hands and wonder how things are going to happen. You see, there is nothing we will ever face that God can't handle. Do you believe that? Do you believe that up here or right here? Sometimes there's a disconnect from here to here. Do you believe that? You know, we might think that maybe something is too small of an issue to bring it before the mighty God. But let me tell you something, folks. There is nothing too difficult for Him, and there's nothing that is too insignificant for Him. If it's bothering you, it's bothering Him that it's bothering you. If it's important to us, it's important to God. And so we need to not be focused on the things of this world, but instead be focused on the One who gave us everything in this world. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says it like this, and we know that in all things, say that, all things, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe God's Word? Because you can't just take one verse and believe it. You've got to believe all of God's Word. All right? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. So, folks, what right do we have to fret and worry and be anxious about anything? Paul is just encouraging those folks. Don't be anxious about anything. He says, but how should we respond then? The second part of that verse says this, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so he gives us some prayer suggestions. And I'm giving some prayer suggestions today. First of all, spend time in prayer. Now, I know that Paul says pray without ceasing, and I believe we ought to. That means I never hang up the phone between me and God. That's what that means. And see, God will never hang up His end. But there's a lot of times in my own life I get too distracted or whatever else, and I walk away from the prayer line, so to speak. Or I might even take the phone up and hang it up. You know, but God will never do that from His end. So it takes time to pray. I wonder, do we offer Him any of our time? You know, I think some people even think, okay, well, I have a prayer time, and it's from this time to this time in the morning. So I offer that to God. Good, that's great. It's a good start for all of us to have a time of prayer. Oh, we pray before every meal. That's good. You should. But God's looking for more than that. He doesn't want a disconnect between us and Him. Do you offer Him your time to pray? Somebody might say, well, I'm too busy. I mean, I've got all these kinds of things to do. I got to run the kids to school. I got to take care. And you could start listing out all the things you think you have to do. But if you're so busy you can't pray, are you too busy? I find myself praying everywhere I'm going. Whatever I'm doing. When I'm making a phone call, I'm praying. When I'm listening to people, I'm praying. I find I've got to be in prayer because it is that connection between God and myself that helps me hear Him. And that's all I need to hear is Him. We've got to take time to pray. Maybe you need to have a place that you set aside at least once a day where you can just get alone. Get away from the phone, get away from the TV, get away from people. A place where you can just pray and not be interrupted. And I can tell you this, if you have a cell phone and you take it into your prayer closet with you, guess what's going to happen? That phone's going to buzz. It's going to ring. It's going to do whatever it does to notify you that you got an email from somebody you never signed up on their email list. I mean, it's going to happen. And you're going to be distracted, and you're going to look at it, and then all of a sudden you're going to be figuring out how to deal with it. And before long, your prayer time's not a prayer time anymore. We've got to not be so busy. We've got to not be so distracted. It's just a special place for you and God to meet. A time you set alone between you and God that nothing is going to interrupt that time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says it like this. Put that up there, Paul, if you will. But when you pray, what does it say? Go into your room and close the door. One of the translations says, go into your closet. I don't know if I'd go into my closet, but go into your room and close the door. Why? To not be disturbed. And pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, He wants a real connection with us. Not just something we do to check off a box. Say, hey, I did that today. I'm all good. Rest of the day I can do whatever I want. No. He wants a connection that... And listen, folks, I believe it ought to be early in the morning. Because what tends to happen is if we don't start the day with God, we end up doing the day without God, and we finish up the day going, oh God. We need to spend time with Him. And then I find it's important for us to know what we ought to be praying for. You know, you can just randomly pray about everything. But let's be specific with God. Don't you think God wants to hear our hearts and what's going on in our lives and in other people's lives? And so maybe you need a prayer list to begin writing down things you want to pray for. Organization helps. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm very disorganized. Sometimes I can't remember where I put something. Does that ever happen to you? And you find out that when you finally find it, it's in the last place you look. You know why? Because why do you keep looking if you already found it, right? But the fact is, you know, we need to be a little more organized. And I find it's awesome to keep track of God, how God responds. You know, I think a lot of times we pray for something and God moves and we all go, yay! And then we move on. But we need to glory in the fact of God moving in people's lives. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition make your request to God. Now he gets very exact on this. The last part of verse 6 says, by prayer and petition. He says, but in everything, with prayer and petition, make your request to God. In everything. So that means be specific. We can't be people that pray in a general way. Oh God, bless the world. God has already blessed the world. And He will continue to bless the world. And God's will be done. We don't have to pray for general things. God's in control. And everything will happen in His time and in His way. I can tell you that. You see, what good is it to worry about what's going on around us? And worry about how things are going to turn out and all this? What good is it? God's in control. So we don't have to worry about it. We can know that He's doing things. But we need to be a little bit more specific, with the most specific being in the world and in the universe, God. God doesn't do anything on a general plan. Oh, let's see, I think today's a good day for this to happen. No. Everything is ordered in God's plan. Specifically to happen exactly when it should happen. It's like us going before God. It's like us saying to somebody, hey, buy my food. But you don't tell them what kind of food you need. You don't tell them anything about what you need. You just say, I just need food. Okay, well, I'm going to bring you Brussels sprouts and, you know, and if you don't like it, tough. No. The fact is that we need to be specific when we pray. The benefits of prayer are these. Being exact with prayers helps us to see specific answers. And that's why keeping a list is really awesome, because when you're praying for something specific and God meets that need, then you can write that down and praise the Lord about it. It helps us to be involved in what God is already doing. Because with us or without us, God is at move, on the move. He's working. Everywhere around us, He's working. He would love to use us. He would love to involve us. He would love to help us be a part of it and be in participation with Him. He would love that. But He's going to be moving no matter whether we are or not. We need to be involved. And it also brings intensity to our prayers. I know that we are not heard for the amount of words that we speak in our prayers. In fact, Jesus made a mention about those that just babble. They think they're going to be heard by the numbers of prayers that they offer up. That's not what God's interested in. Man looks on the outward appearance. Where does God look? He looks on the heart. He knows the intent of even our prayers. Psalm 126, verse 6. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And you might say, what's that got to do with... Listen, folks. We ought to be praying for people to hear the good news. Not just hear about it, but to truly hear it. I dare say that most people in our country have probably heard the name Jesus, and they've heard it in multiple different kinds of ways. And they probably think they know who Jesus is. And some of them may even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But there's a difference when they finally realize and understand that Jesus is God. And what Jesus did on the cross for them was to pay for their sins and offer them eternal life and salvation. When we realize that as people, our purpose is what? To go, therefore, and tell people everywhere the good news. That's our purpose as Christians. To be sharing the gospel with everybody around us. And this particular passage says, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. When's the last time you wept over a lost soul? I find sometimes a I'm not caring enough. Even with people that live around me or people I see all the time, I get inside my head. I get inside myself and I get closed off from those people in some way, and I'm just doing my thing. And I wonder what God's thinking when I walk by someone who needs to know and I don't spend the time. Well, I think I know what He's thinking. He's probably saying, why won't you just take the time right now to tell them about Jesus? Is there ever going to be a better time? Will there be a time after they die that you can share with them? No. Spending time with Him in prayer. Spending time with Him separated from the anxious and all the things that are going on in this world. Spending time in prayer and petition builds our faith because we see God move. When we're keeping track and we're looking down and we see all the different things that we've now written down that God has done, it helps build our faith in Him. Then He says, this is what you ought to be doing as you pray. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. I want to look at those three different words specifically. This word for prayer means to adore who God is. The Greek term is proskuneo, which means seeing Him as high and lifted up or set apart. Do we see God like that? Do we see God above all things? He is above all things. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6 says, no one is like You, Lord. You are great, and Your name is mighty in power. That's who we're praying to. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for My thoughts are not Your thoughts, God says, neither are Your ways My ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than Your ways, and My thoughts than Your thoughts. We are praying to the One who is above all things. In Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3, as Isaiah was called into the presence of God in the temple, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him were seraphim, each with six wings, and with two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Folks, when you're in the presence of God in prayer, you're in the presence of God. And He is holy, holy, holy. We ought to be adoring who He is, praising who He is. He says in prayer and petition, the word petition is asking God specifics. The Greek term is deesis, which means come to Him needy. Now, we are a needy people, but do we admit that before God? You see, He's the only one who can meet your needs. He's the only one who can meet the need that you have. And you might say, well, I was praying for a new vehicle and somebody allowed me to be able to get one. So they met the need. No, guess what? God meets needs. He uses people, but He meets needs. He's the only one that can meet your needs. Psalm 105, verse 4. The psalmist says this, look to the Lord and His strength and seek His face always. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says it like this, seek the Lord while He may be found and call on Him while He is near. Paul is saying, listen, guys, we need to be adoring God and we need to be asking God for the specific things that we need. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, the Scripture says. That word is appreciating God. It means we are to be thankful for everything that He does for us. Everything. Now, remember that that means we even need to be thankful to God for the trials that He brings into our life. And that's not easy to do, is it? Not easy to be thankful for the trials. But we've got to be thankful. Because we know, as James says, those trials produce in us perseverance. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Their specific duty in the temple was to bring praise to Him. That ought to be our duty. We ought to be praising God no matter what. No matter what the earthly circumstances are, does it really matter? Does it? Because these things are going to pass away. We need to be praising God no matter what. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Now let me tell you a little story around this very verse. Jehoshaphat was facing an army that was so big they couldn't be numbered. And he realized he didn't have the people to be able to do this. But he called upon God and says, "God, what should we do?" God says, "Send out people ahead of you, the choir, to sing praises." Now, if you were in the choir, you'd probably be a little nervous at that point. But that's exactly what they did. They sent out the praise team ahead of the army. And the Scripture goes on to say in this passage that as they began to praise God, God came and slaughtered the army. And all the people with swords and spears and everything were just standing there watching. Wouldn't you like something like that to happen in your life? Now, I'm not talking about your enemies. I'm not talking about any of your in-laws or outlaws or any of that. No, what I'm talking about is spiritual. The things that we face that really matter are spiritual things. We spend so much time praying about physical things and things that we think need to be fixed in this world. This world is broken. This world is literally going to end. And if we spend all of our time praying about this world, that's exactly what we're going to be focused on. But listen, folks, God has so much more in store for us. So much more. Can you imagine the praise team as they began walking out and saw God come down and start to slay the army of the enemy that was so large they couldn't number them? And they were just singing praises. I think sometimes we don't realize how powerful our praise really is. The Scripture says God inhabits our praises. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Psalm chapter 30, verse 21. That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Do you want to praise God? That ought to be part of your prayer time. Praising God and all He is and all He's doing and what He's done for you. With prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. That's the presentation. Literally, it means allowing God to know where you are. Now, God already knows, but it means you're now getting on the same page as He's on. It's bringing it into His presence. There's nothing that God doesn't know. When we give our anxiety and worries to God, They are now His and not ours. Think about that. Are you worried about something? Take it to God. Put it on His shoulders. They're big enough to handle it. And then step back and say, this is not mine anymore, it's yours. Wayne and I were talking about that the other day, about how, you know, if you give everything to God that you have, like right now I have a vehicle that's in the shop, but it's not really my vehicle. It's God's vehicle, so if He wants to fix it, He will. I'm not worried about it. God, the car's broken down. What are you going to do about it? If you want it fixed, we'll get it fixed. It's His. He owns everything anyway, by the way. We went through this passage not too long ago on Wednesday night, Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and then all the other things will be given to you as well. It all matters where we're focused. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. It's focused on God. It's focused on our communication with Him. And so he says, so don't be anxious about anything, and everything by prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we've done that. Now look at what verse 7 says. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our comprehension or understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's God's peace. The Greek term is eirene, which means quietness and rest. Do you ever feel like you just need some quiet time and rest? Now, I'm not talking about just where there's not a lot of sound going on. I'm talking about a spiritual resting place where you can just get alone with God and sense His presence and hear His voice and listen to what He has to say to you. Is that not the opposite of anxiety? The peace of God that transcends all of our understanding. It's supernatural. We can't even understand it. But that's what God desires for us to have. His peace. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. Not as this world understands peace. The peace of God will then guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It'll guard our hearts and our minds. Now look at that. There's two different places that we act from. We act with our minds, and some of that is dwindling nowadays. And we act with our heart. Right? He says, the peace of God will guard both our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. By the way, He doesn't give us peace. He doesn't give us world peace. He doesn't give us His peace. He is peace. You see, we already have Him if we know Jesus. What He gives us is His peace. Daniel chapter 6. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to this because it's a very long section. I think we'll probably still have it on the screen as well. But I want us to read this together. And this will kind of take up the rest of our time today. But I want you to hear this amazing passage. And you probably know about Daniel in the lion's den. But listen to how it plays out. It pleased Darius, who was the emperor in Babylon at the time, to appoint 120 satraps to rule through the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. By the way, he was an Israelite who had been brought there when Babylonians had taken over the Israelites. and brought them into captivity. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Isn't that just like people? Somebody's done really well and they're going to get a promotion and everybody's going like, why aren't they getting the promotion? Why am I not getting it? They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. You know, they're groveling at his feet. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue this decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to this decree to put in writing. He prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until the sundown to save him. And then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may you, your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. And then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without anyone entertaining him brought to him, and he could not sleep. And at the first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, O king. And the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. And then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly, and issue decree that in every part of my kingdom people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is living God, and he endures forever, and his kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. And he rescues and he saves, and he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. And he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen? Are you worried? Are you full of anxiety? Folks, you were never in any trouble like this. What did Daniel do? He prayed. and he praised his Lord. By prayer and petition, made his request to God. And the God who is in charge of everything took care of it. And that's what he'll do for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be people that not only know what your word says, but to put it into practice. It's easy to say that we can just pray when we're worried. But Lord, we have to put it into practice. We have to do it. And I think so many times we know what we should do, but then we don't. Lord, right now I just pray that we will be people that are different than what this world is like. People all around the world, in our country even right now, they're so worried about everything. They're so tied up in knots and they're so anxious. But Father, this is a great opportunity for the people of God who truly trust you and seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness, to realize that all these things that we need will be added to us as well. So we just bring them to you, Lord. And we trust you. I think many times we have trust issues. We say we believe you. We say that we love you. We say that we want to follow you. But then we don't trust you. Father, help us to become true prayer warriors, people of prayer, who spend time with you and look to you for to meet our needs, not this world, not the things of this world, not the people of this world. And then help us, Lord, to realize and understand the peace that passes all of understanding, that then begins to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we can become different than all the other people that are running around worried and fretting and not knowing what's going to happen. And Lord, we know what's going to happen. Your word tells us. So Lord, we just trust in you. We trust in you. We trust in you. Father, there might be someone listening today who's never trusted you. Never come to a point in their life where they have called upon you for salvation, for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, the Scripture says we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. There's no one righteous, no, not one. And those who proclaim to be righteous, the Scripture says their righteousness is like filthy rags. So Lord, we come before you today, and if there's anyone who realizes today that they've fallen short, they've missed the mark, today might be the day where they trust in you. Your word tells us that if we will call upon you, you will listen and you will hear us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You demonstrated your love towards us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt. And I wonder today if there's someone who needs to trust you as their Savior and Lord. You can do it right now, right where you are. Whether you're seated in this building, whether you're at home, you're watching online, you're watching this on YouTube, whatever you're doing, God is speaking to you right now. And He's saying, I paid the price for you. I love you. I desire to give you eternal life and forgiveness of your sins. if you'll but come to me. Would you do that today? Maybe you'd pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I have sin in my life. I've done things I know are wrong. I don't have any peace. I'm worried all the time. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. But today, I choose to turn to you and to trust you with my life and ask you to become my Lord and forgive me of my sins. And I pray these things because of what Jesus has done for me in His name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God's speaking to you right here in this place, if you're online, wherever you are, if God's speaking to you, would you do something about it today? I'm going to be here at the front if you want to talk to somebody. I know Brother Marcus and Brother Robert are in the back. They could talk to you as well. If you have any questions, if you want somebody to pray with you, we're here for you. Let's stand and let's begin to sing this hymn of invitation of God speaking. Would you do something about it today? Oh, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. And still seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart. Check. Test. There it is. It's back. Okay. Anyway, let me make you aware of a couple of announcements this morning. One that's not on your little announcement list. We would like to take up a special love offering for Ruth and Eddie Kiggins. And so if you'd like to give towards that, we're going to ask you to take one of the envelopes that's in front of you in the pew rack. And if you want to give specifically to them, on the outside of the envelope, would you just write Kiggins, it's K-I-G-G-I-N-S, and that specific amount that you put into that envelope will go straight to them, and you can just drop that in the offering receptacle to help them out right now in their need. Otherwise, your typical offering will just go in the offering receptacles, and they'll go towards the operation of the church. So anyway, just wanted to let you know about that. Next Sunday, we're having our potluck, our St. Valentine's Day potluck, and so I encourage you to come and bring your favorite dish. Like chocolate cake. Yeah, that chocolate cake is good. Not as good as banana pudding, but it's good. All right. But anyway, so we had a good...